Amen. It's a blessing to have our young people back from school. Kind of hate to see them go, but I'm glad they are because they're learning a lot. And I'm looking forward to the day when I can see each one of them serving the Lord. If you would, I'm going to ask you to stand once you find Psalm 37. Psalm 37 this morning. As soon as you find that, if you'll stand, we're going to look at beginning in verse 23. Psalm 37. Again, many of you memorize this verse, but it's a good verse to be reminded of because sometimes we forget. And we forget that there's a direction. And sometimes we don't understand that because we pray about God's will. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? All those type of things. But sometimes He wants you to stay where you're at. And if He doesn't show you a different direction, that's where you're supposed to be. And so we need to learn that. God will teach us and He'll lead us. Let's look at our verse. And I'm going to begin reading verse 23. And I'm going down to verse 27 this morning. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for the word this morning. We thank you for how you do direct us, how you have a plan for us. And Father, it's our responsibility as we study the word of God, reading your word each day, is to have ears that hear and hearts that are attentive to what you want us to do. Realizing that every day that we go through this life, you don't redirect us, but sometimes we're supposed to stay put where we're at. And if we don't have clear direction to go somewhere else, then we can know that we're walking in the will of God. And Father, help us to always be mindful of that. Again, we thank you for giving us discernment, giving us wisdom, and helping us to understand your will for our lives. We pray now that you would just guide and direct the next few moments. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, everyone in this room this morning has sometimes struggled with God's will. What does God want me to do? When will God show me? Where am I supposed to be in? And how am I supposed to get there? Why doesn't God tell me? Why didn't He just show me right now? You know, God does have a plan, and it's specific to every born-again believer. Now, there's a general plan. You can read that and study that. You're to be a witness. You're to be a testimony. You're to love your neighbor. You're to go out and help others see Jesus Christ. That's a general plan. But the more specific of the plan for you is, where do you do that? Who do you do that with? And God will provide those answers. He will give you that direction as long as you're willing to submit to Him where you're at right now. In Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And so God wants to guide and direct you. But it takes a willing heart, a willing mind, a submitted Christian to know the will of God. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know this verse very well. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." You see, it, just like that verse says, if you, number one, trust in the Lord, how do you trust in Him? With all your heart. And then, of course, lean not unto your own understanding. The things that you've been taught, your experiences, your feelings, your emotions, don't lean on those. Because those will misguide you, misdirect you, and put you in the wrong place. And it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." That means everything you do, where you work, where you shop, the people you rub shoulders with. You're to acknowledge God. And when you're willing to do that, then shall the answer come. He shall direct thy paths. And that's what we all want, isn't it? We want to know, what does God want me to do? This morning, as we look at this passage in Psalms, I want to preach a message I've entitled, Are You Stepping in God's Pathway? Are you stepping in God's pathway? And every person, again, as I mentioned in this room, God has a pathway for. And He wants to direct you in that. He wants to guide you. But you and I have to be submitted to it. So, how do we know God's will? Well, God's will, number one, begins with faith. You know, faith is something that we all need to have. And everybody in this room has faith in something. Some people have faith in themselves. I can get up, I can go do this, I can do that. I have the knowledge, the skill, or whatever, and so I can do this. Some people have faith in others. We want to have faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You believe that he's a rewarder if you would diligently seek him? That's part of the prescription here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We must believe there is a God. That means we need to believe the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every single word that you have in your lap this morning is God's word. And you can trust those words. You don't have to doubt them. You don't have to correct them. Too many times we come to the Bible with a critical spirit. And we look at things from our perspective thinking we're smarter than God. I mean, after all, the book of Ephesians doesn't say exactly what the book of Colossians says. There's some differences there. And they're similar, but they're not exactly the same. Why is that? Or the Greek words that we have in our New Testament aren't the same as the ones in Hebrew when Jesus is quoting Scripture, or someone's quoting Scripture. Why is that? And we get critical about the things of God instead of understanding God and His will for us. Faith is nothing more than putting your confidence in something, being assured that it is what it is. It's like when a child first jumps into the water. You remember that, parents? In a swimming pool, and they're scared to death. And you're sitting there, and you're holding your arms out and saying, Come on, jump, I'll catch you. And they're thinking, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to get in that water. What if you drop me? What if you don't catch me? And finally, after being timid and waiting a little bit, they jump. And daddy or mommy catches them. So what do? They put them back on the bank there and say, jump again. And they jump right away. And they've just learned that they can trust that parent, that that parent's going to catch them. And so that is putting faith in something. They're putting faith in their parent or their dad or whatever. Faith is always proven. The Bible says the steps of a good man. That's steps. That's inch by inch. Is taking God at His word and proceeding to step into the light that He's given. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so step after step, we see the pathways clear, and we take the light that's unto our path, and we prove God. That's what God wants us to do. Let's prove Him. Does His word really make sense? Does His word really work? Can I trust Him with my life? Can I trust Him with everything that I am, all my being? Can I trust Him even when He tells me to do things that I naturally wouldn't do? Can I trust Him? Some people say I trust Him, but they demonstrate otherwise by their life and their testimony and how they live. They don't trust Him at all. They trust in their own abilities, their own skills, their own desires, thinking all the time, God's given me the ability. Yes, He has. But He wants you to trust Him completely in every single step. He He wants us to continue to walk in His light. And when we do that, we realize we're going down the right path. We're in the best place that we can ever be. Now, I've preached this ever since I learned it, and I believe it's true that if you're in God's will, you're in the perfect place. Now, if you're not in God's will, then I would doubt where I'm at. I'd wonder, where should I be? What should I be doing? Because you haven't listened to God in the basics, He's not going to give you anything that's too hard for you. In fact, He'll make a way escape, He tells us. He's trying to train us from the very bottom up. Just like a child that is nurtured with their parents, taking care of their food and taking care of any need they have, changing the diapers, doing all those type of things. God is doing the same thing for us. He wants to nurture us, bring us along. He doesn't give us too much to handle. He's not going to call you to be a missionary in some foreign field before you've really learned to trust Him in some of the trials of life. That's why the trials of life come in, is to knock off the rough edges, to mold you and make you into someone who's willing to listen to God, and you can trust Him in the places that are dark, the places where you might not find people that understand you even, because there's a language barrier. And God will do that if you and I will trust Him in the beginning and continue to trust Him. But faith always begins with a willingness. We have to have a willingness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it begins with a willing mind. It says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, not according to that he hath not." This is talking about giving. And the fact is, that's what our lives ought to be, giving. And we ought to start, when we get saved, is to give the Lord our life. We say that. Everybody I've ever baptized, I've asked them the question, "Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of your life?" And you know what everyone answers in the baptistry? It's yes. But does everybody follow the Lord? No. Why? Well, that's a question I wonder. If you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you, what God has done for you, it's not that big a deal. It's not that hard to accept what God wants to do in your life, because He's already done something miraculous. He's changed you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, not the old creature. If you're living like the old man, then you've missed the mark. You haven't got it right. Because God says, "I'm going to change you." I've heard people tell me, "This is the way I am. This is the way I was made." Yeah, you were made a sinner, lost on the way to hell. God saved you, and He's going to change you into a holy person, someone that will be able to stand before Him without spot and without blemish. But you and I have to be willing to accept that and trust it. Not only do you have to have a willing mind, but you have to have a willing heart. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Have you prepared your heart this morning? Before you came to this service, did you prepare your heart and say, "Lord, please give me something"? Or did you come thinking, "Wonder what that short, fat guy is going to say today"? Look, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut. And it's going to require a response every time you hear it. Some of you are going to respond in the negative and say, "I don't care what it says or what that guy says. I don't believe it. That's his interpretation." Some will say, "Yeah, I hear it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to be obedient to it." But God gives us the opportunity to choose which direction we want to go. And it's all about the heart. Where's your heart today? Many Christians claim to be serving God and seeking His face and think they're being blessed by God, when all the time they're not. Yeah, they may experience some blessings, but you know what? If you're around Christians who are serving God, you will see some of the blessings rub off. It's amazing what happens. Even the saved are blessed because of Christians. America is blessed because of Christians. That's why we have the country we have. But not only do you have to have a willing mind and a willing heart, but you have to have a willingness to follow. In John chapter 7, verse 17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so when you and I decide that this is God's word and what it says is true and begin to live it, then God's going to reveal more and more of his doctrine to us. Of course, it's God's will, number one. What is the perfect will of God? What is the first thing that God wills of every person? That's right. Putting your faith in what God's plan is. God's plan is Jesus Christ. That's the very beginning of all this. Prior to that, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. You have no hope. And it's funny how many people don't understand that, and they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to pay the penalty. Now, when they see Christ, they're going to bow a knee. They're going to confess that He's the Lord. And then they're probably going to beg, please don't send me there. Please give me a second chance. Please, I'm willing to repent now. And the fact is, it's too late. He says the steps of a good man. And we think about, who is a good man? Well, a good man is not somebody that just does good things. A good man is someone who has a right standing before God. And the only way you can have that right standing is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus and continuing in the things that He has taught us or is teaching us. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody in this room can stand upon their merits, their good looks or their works or whatever, and stand before a holy God thinking they're going to get in. I remember my mom used to say stuff like, you know, if you need money to do something, she says, well, how are you going to get that on your good looks? I didn't have a chance. She cursed me right away. No. But the fact is, it's not about us being good. It's about God and His goodness toward us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Aren't you so glad that it's not because of who you are or what you've done, but it's what God has done by sending His Son to die on the cross? And it's so simple that many people miss it and can't understand it. Simple to the fact that you just put your faith and trust in what God has done. And we take that by taking Jesus. We put our confidence in what Jesus has completed in you. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It's all about the relationship. A lot of folks think it's about religion. Well, I don't want to follow your religion. I don't believe the way you believe. Well, I'm sorry. It's not about believing the way I believe. It's believing what the Bible says. Period. There are some things that my belief would probably not line up with the Word of God, because I haven't came to that point yet where God has taught me or shown me a certain thing, and it's demonstrating your lives and my life in the way we live, in the way we project ourselves. We demonstrate every day what we believe about the Word of God. And the thing about it is, and I won't be any dogmatic more than the Bible is, but it's cut and dry. It's black and white. There's no gray area in this at all. There are only two choices. And you and I have to make one of those two choices. In 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's how simple it gets. And so we have to make that. That's the will of God. In our passage this morning, focusing on verse 23 again, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when you think about what does that mean, that means that God has already ordained or put in place a plan for you and for me. He's already got that set. And for us to understand it is to understand what God wants to do in my life is to follow Him in the basics and then continue as He teaches you. Not to balk at the Word of God, not to balk at the preacher that's preaching the Word of God, but to take the Word of God as it is. And if you don't understand it and you're critical about it, get on your knees and ask God to give you a vision for the things of God. Because too many times we think that we're smart as God, actually smarter than God. And we want to take God and bring Him down out of heaven and put Him in our own little box and claim, this is righteous. I think this is righteous. I think this is the way to go. I think God would bless this. Even though the Word of God contradicts that very thing. We often do that, don't we? We don't want to, but yet we still do. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship." What in the world does that mean? It means the day you got saved, Jesus Christ has His hand in your life. And He wants to take you like the potter in Jeremiah. And He wants to put you on the wheel, just like a lump of clay. And He wants to take that clay and begin molding that. And there are basic things, like I say, you learn, and so there's a basic design. But as you continue to grow in this lifetime, and as God continues to have His hand on your life, He wants to be able to change you. He might take and do some basic things to you and put you in a certain place, but He doesn't want you to stay there. He may set you aside for a little bit and let you dwell in what you've learned and start growing in grace, but at some point He's going to take that same lump of clay and He's going to throw it back on the wheel and He wants to mold it some more. He may change the design completely. But what happens is you and I become so brittle. It's like we went through the furnace. Now He takes it and throws it on the wheel and it breaks because it's useless in His hands. We don't want to be like that. I want God to take and do whatever He wants when He wants. If He wants to take His thumb and just put it somewhere and make a line or do something to me, I want to allow Him to do that. Why? Because I'm bought with a price. I'm His. And if you today can't claim you're His, I can tell you for a fact you are lost and on your way to hell. Because His are the children of God. And if you're His, bought with a price, then you need to realize that He has control over your life. And you can understand that because you have controlled your life in the past. And you know that when somebody else controls you, that means they have preeminence. That means they get to make the choices. That means they get to give the direction. That means I submit to that will. I submit to that whatever God has laid in my heart to do, whatever that may be. And of course, our example is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's a mind change. Of course, Jesus humbled Himself. He became obedient to the cross. He took upon Him the form of a servant. You know, Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. In Christianity today, we have a lot of people that are takers and not givers. They'll come to church one time a week. That's a taker. That's not a giver. The giver is here when we have things to do, is willing to serve and be part of the ministry. What's required of the ministry of this church? It's the upkeep of this building, one thing. For those of you who signed up to do your monthly cleaning, you're ministering in this church right now. You're ministering to Christ. Those of you who do not do those things, you're not ministering. You're takers. All you want is, give me, give me, give me. Instead of, I'll be willing to give. What if Jesus would have had that attitude? What if he went to the cross and said, I'm not going up there for that old sinner. They're just a bunch of takers. They don't give. They're not going to give anything. Why should I give anything? Well, if I was God, I wouldn't send Jesus down the cross for my soul. Wouldn't have done it. I'm glad he knows better than me, though. But he is our example. He's the one we're to follow. Jesus, when he was on this earth, even though he was God, did not do his own will. Do you understand that? He didn't make up his mind and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen to what he said in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's what Jesus did. He sought the will of the Father. Our example, we ought to seek the will of the Father. Paul understood this very well. When Paul was on the road to Damascus and he put his faith and trust in Jesus, it was God's plan that he had for Paul. Number one, that he was saved, which he put his faith and trust in Jesus. But he was also blinded at that time. And he couldn't even take care of himself. He became like a babe again. He was dependent on others. And God told him to go and to a certain place and wait, and he'd send somebody. Remember Ananias? He questioned God's direction when he said, you want me to go to this guy named Saul who's persecuting Christians? And God said, yes, because I'm going to use him in the ministry. And he did. He was obedient. He went to him, even though it didn't sound right. It didn't make sense, humanly speaking, because he had heard and experienced some things that Paul was doing, and he thought, why would I want to put myself in this situation? Well, he knew better because God told him to. Just like Philip when he went to the eunuch. He could have chose not to do that. God, I just don't have time today. That's way over there, and I don't want to go way over there and talk to some stranger. He don't even know who I am. Why would you send me over there? God, I don't speak very well either. It's not my nature to tell people about Jesus. It's not my nature to talk to strangers. I can't do that, God. What if Philip wouldn't have done what God told him to do? There'd be a eunuch today that may be lost on his way to hell. What if Paul didn't follow Jesus Christ? Think about all the churches that were started by this man named Paul. They may not be in existence today. No, Paul understood what it was to walk in the steps that God was providing. In fact, he made that statement in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. So God orders our steps, and he uses the word of God to do it. And so many Christians miss the mark because they don't understand Romans 12, 1 and 2. Or maybe they understand it, but just don't practice it. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Where Paul wrote, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And he's not talking to a lost man. He's talking to those that are born again, that have the Spirit of God living in them. He said, by the mercies of God. And of course, it's all about God's mercy. I can do nothing without Christ, right? Isn't that what Paul said? He says, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. What's that mean? That means conforming to the Word of God, that you look different. You act different. You're a peculiar person. You're not like the world. You don't take what the world has to offer and accept it as, this is it, I'll compromise. Everybody else is doing it. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me stuff like that. But, Pastor, everybody else is doing it. But that doesn't make it right. If you study the Bible, you find out real quick that the majority were mostly wrong. Because everybody else was doing it. They decided to do it. It didn't make it right. In fact, it was a few. Narrow is the path that leadeth to life, according to my Bible. Broad is the way to destruction. He says, holy, acceptable unto God. So what's your life? Who are you trying to make your life acceptable to? Is it your husband, your wife, or some other individual? Who are you trying to please? So often we bring it all down to the earth and we find out, well, this is who I need to please to get this. If I do this, then he'll bless me and all this, instead of pleasing God. It's God that we need to make ourselves acceptable to, not to anybody else, but God first. Some husbands don't have discernment in what their wives should put on. That husband needs to get right with God. Some wives don't understand what it is to dress in a modest way. They need to get right with God. It's acceptable to him, not me. When I look in the mirror, I'm not looking to say, well, I'm acceptable to myself. Is God pleased with what I'm doing? Is God pleased in how I'm living? That's what we're to do. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, it begins right here. When you think of the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, to know those, you need to have a mindset that you're willing to follow God. He says that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, are you living a life that you're proving God? Or do you even think about God? When you get up in the morning, do you think anything about what God thinks about what you're doing, where you're going, how you're acting? Or you just do it? Are you on automatic? You know, most of us probably are on automatic. Every day the same thing. Get up, brush the teeth, take a shower, go eat some breakfast, go to work, come home, do whatever we do, and go to bed, and same thing the next day. Without ever asking God, God, is this what you want me to do? You know, a lot of people are dwelling in the life of the earthly and are missing the mark. Because our goal is not to live a life on this earth and then die. That's not what it's about. For us, our life is to be here as a blessing to others, as givers, giving to other people so they too might know Christ. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a world that everybody was born again? It's going to happen one day. But you know what? A lot of people, the majority, your relatives, your mothers, your fathers, your friends, your cousins, the people you rub shoulders with at work, are going to end up in a place called hell. And some of you are going to have to be blamed for that and stand before a holy God because you didn't share one thing about Christ in your actions, your attitudes, and your voice. You didn't do it. Why? Because you weren't willing to conform yourself to God. This is what our life is to be about. I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, and I believe it's true, is that God wants us all be in his will. Right now, not tomorrow morning, not the next day, but go ahead and practice today the will of God and stay in the will of God. But Pastor, it's so hard, so many sacrifices. Well, you need to get your heart right. Because what the natural man would think is a sacrifice, the Christian ought to be thinking as the necessity to please their Lord. It's God's desire. It's God's plan. Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. I know what this verse means. I lived most of my life doing what I thought was right. In mine own eyes. What I thought was the best way. What I thought was how you're supposed to live. Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, this is why we have the problems we have in America today. Divorce, homelessness. The kids today are living without direction in single parent homes and foster homes and jail. It's our society's just all messed up because we've taken God and thrown him out of the lives of the majority of the people. You see, only God knows the future. The psychics don't know the future. The palm readers don't know the future. Your horoscope doesn't know the future. Science doesn't know the future. God does. And He knows what's best. And you know what? You can know the future as well by reading the Word of God. One time I used to think that those people who were out there trying to save the earth and save the whales and save the fishes, I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. We're going to take care of this earth. Not just for us, but for our children and their children and their children and their children. And after I got saved and started reading the Word of God, I realized that God already's got a plan for this planet. I don't have to worry about saving the planet. I need to make sure people know about Jesus. Abortion's a bad thing, but I don't need to go hold a picket sign up in an abortion clinic and say, stop this. I need to take the Bible and teach those people that Jesus Christ can save them. Because the only way to change people is to let them know that God loves them and cares for them and has a plan and direction for them. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Job 23:10, but He knoweth the way that I take, Job said. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew that the trials and the tribulations that he went through were for a purpose. And that was God would perfect him, make him acceptable. So we as Christians, we want to learn what is it to live this Christian life. How are we to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, we need to keep our bodies pure, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. What does that word sanctification mean? For the layman, it just means set apart. You could plug holy in there if you wanted to. That's what holiness is, set apart. We need to maintain the spirit of thankfulness. A bitter person will never be thankful. They'll never be thankful. We need to be in church. We need to obey the laws of the land. We need to endure suffering when it comes our way. Nobody likes to suffer. I stand before you here today. Both my knees hurt. Both my shoulders hurt. I only tell you that because I don't like it. But you know, God knows best. And I have put myself in a place that I've asked God to remove these things. But if He doesn't, that's His business. Because He's trying to teach me something. And I want to go through whatever God wants me to go through, because it is nothing compared to what Jesus went through for me. Nothing at all. And that's what Paul was writing about in Philippians chapter 3. That we would understand His death, the sufferings on the cross. Paul wanted to know what that was and how that felt. And Paul had suffered much more than anybody in this room. When he was at Lystra, he was stoned. And the Bible says everybody thought he was dead. That's pretty radical. But he got up from there and he went to the next town. And you know what he did? He said, God, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not serving you anymore. I can't handle the pain. I mean, I was left for dead, God. They threw stones at me, God. I can't do this. It just hurts too much. He didn't do that. He went to the very next synagogue and he preached Jesus Christ. Today, someone says something to him that hurts our feelings, we'll quit coming to church. We'll quit giving and quit the ministry. We'll quit God because our feelings are hurt. I want to tell you something. That's sad. You need to get over it. You need to wake up. Who gave you the power to live the life anyway? Live for Christ, folks. It's the best thing you can do. We're to be an example for others. If we were to look at our lives today, could we say we're a good example? Could others tell us we're good examples? If you were to go to work and say, I went to your workplace tomorrow and talked to the guy that you work next to, and I just went over to him and just said, hey, is this guy you're working next to, is he different than anybody else in this meal? Does he act different? Does he talk different? Do you know if this guy's a Christian or not? What would they say? Would they say, well, I never heard that before. He seems to be like everybody else. He's just a good old fella. A good old gal. Hopefully that's not true. Hopefully they're going to say, yeah, that's one of those guys that wants to talk about the Bible all the time. Man, you know what I'm talking about. Those freaks that think that God's word is the truth and all this stuff. And they don't know anything. They don't know nothing about science or what is going on. They're just so ignorant. Amen. Tell me or tell others that I'm that way. I don't care. I'd like them to know that I believe the Bible more than I believe the scientist. We're to be doers of the word. Ephesians 6:6-7. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I know what it is to do service so people will see you. Before I got saved and I was going to church, I did everything I did to show people that I was a spiritual Christian. That's why I did it. Now, I didn't consciously make that choice and say that way, but in essence, that's exactly what I was doing. I wanted those people at that church to think highly of me, that I was as good as they were, that I was someone who knew what it was to serve God and was doing everything. And then when I got saved, I realized it for the first time. There's a difference. Before, I was doing it to please men and to please myself. And now I want to do it to please my Lord. He should be number one in our life, right? And it's only by the Holy Spirit we can do the will of God. The Holy Spirit that indwells the believer reveals the Word of God to us, reveals the truth, helps us discern between truth and error, helps us to have confidence in Him. I want to tell you something. If you're not reading the Word of God, you're missing out on what the Holy Spirit can teach you. Because the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us, to convert us, to conform us, to challenge us, and to confirm us. It's nice to read the Word of God and say, I'm doing that, God. I'm following You. I'm trusting You. And then when He shows you that you're not, it's an opportunity to change. And say, God, I want to do Your will. I want to do what You want me to do. Our verse this morning says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then it says, and he, that Christian, that good man, delighteth in His way. What is delighting in God's way? I believe it's loving God. When you love God more than anything else, then you can take His word just as it is given, and you can realize that God's plan is for me. His direction is for me. Jesus said it best in a few words in John 14:15. He said, if, it's a condition, you love me, what are you supposed to do? Keep His commandments. Pastor, that's legalism. Got to have standards in my life, got to have this in my life. What do you mean? That's legalism. Well, Jesus said it, I didn't. You think He meant it? It's probably one of the suggestions, you know, the 444,000 suggestions in the Bible. Look, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, just a suggestion. No, it's not. It's Jesus telling us exactly what we will be like if we really love Him. You know, His commandments are not grievous for those that love God. But for those who do not, they're very grievous. As Christians that are delighting in the Lord, or pleasing the Lord, you become fruit-bearing. In Psalm 1, 2, and 3, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. God will bless you. And there'll be so much you can't hardly stand it. So why would we want to be in the will of God? I don't want His blessing in my life. I don't want to know what God wants me to do. I don't want to be constrained. I want to be free and live like I want to live. Do what I want to do. Well, you're a fool because you're in bondage and don't even know it. You're in bondage to the devil and the sin that he would like to see you do in your life. You're pleasing him. You're delighting him. There's only two choices. You can either serve God or you can serve self, which is serving Satan. So how do we have success in this life? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. How will you know what the book of the law states if you don't read it? You won't, will you? He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This morning, as we look at this passage, God is telling you and me that there are steps that we can take that are His steps that He's already laid out for us. What person doesn't like to know the direction in their life? Young people, they are all around, don't know the direction in their life. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know what God or anybody wants them to do. So they just make decisions. You and I don't have to live that way. God's given us a direction. We just need to keep stepping in the path that He's made for us. And stay on that path. And it's not as hard as you think it is when you delight in the Lord. This morning, God wants us to know that He has that plan for each one of us. And He wants us to delight in Him. And it begins with the relationship. You have to be saved. And it continues by stepping on the stones ordered by the Lord. In John chapter 5, verse 39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, God is going to give you the desires of your heart when you submit to Him. And if you don't, you'll not know the direction of God. Satan will confuse you and think you're going God's direction, but it won't be God's direction. If you're not in the Word of God, you don't know God's direction. He's just not sitting there out of the sky telling each one of us individually at midnight when we're going to bed, tomorrow I want you to do this, or I want you to live this way, or I want you to go this place. That's not the way He works. He works through the Word of God. And we need to know what that direction is. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for the Word of God this morning. And I pray that You would help each one of us, myself included, that when we are stepping in the wrong pathway, going the wrong direction, please remind us, challenge us, that we might be conformed to those things that You want us to be right on the path that You have asked us to be on. Father, help us not to stray, but give us the wisdom we need to continue. Father, if there's somebody here that's lost, never put their faith and trust in Jesus, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. And those folks, their decision is simple, and that is just put your faith and trust in Jesus, and it begins today. But there are other Christians in here that are full of pride, of arrogance, of thinking I'm doing it my way and that's God's okay with it. And the fact of the matter is, it's not true. Maybe this morning you spoke to somebody. Yeah, it's hard to get up from a pew and come down and bow a knee to you. I understand that. But it ought not be that hard for the Christian. He's experienced it at least once in his life when he put his faith and trust in you. In fact, each one of us ought to be bowing our knee every day, moment by moment, in every way. Father, I just ask that you have your will in the lives of the people in this church, that we might be used for your service. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.